Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. This is Brian Wilkie speaking. Today our theme is a curious one, I suppose. How does a temple become a den of thieves? In each of the Gospels, we can find an account of Jesus coming into the temple in Jerusalem and turning over the tables of the money changers and declaring that God's temple, which was to be a house of prayer for all nations, has been turned into a den of thieves. We might well ask, not only how did such a terrible state arise in that day and age, but whether such a thing might also occur today. To begin, let's look at a message from centuries before Christ in the Old Testament book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 6 to 18. God speaks through the prophet Malachi, saying, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Now, here is a song that exalts God, as Mercy Me declares, "You reign."
Drop in the ocean. nation testify by your name.
How can a temple turn into a den of thieves? The gospel has such power that there are always people trying to exploit it for their selfish gain. There were unfair practices in Jerusalem's temple. I've been told over and over again about the false practices of the money changers who would take people's Roman coins, which had the image of Caesar on it, and exchange them for coins that were suitable for use in the temple. And they seemed to make a great profit on the exchange. And I'm told that there were deceptive practices where people would bring in their animals for sacrifice, and the sellers in the temple precincts would tell them, "Oh, your animal's not good enough. It has a blemish." And they'd sell you what they called an unblemished lamb. And then some people say they would take your lamb and sell it to the next person as an unblemished lamb. Were these the practices that Jesus was crying out against when he overturned things in the temple? That's certainly part of it. Deceptive practices and false measures. The Bible is clear that the Lord desires justice in the everyday dealings of life. Would he not also be zealous for justice in his own temple? But you know, there are other ways of exploiting the religious sensibilities of people. Other ways of profiteering from genuine faith in others. There were preachers for profit in Paul's day. He identifies that there were some who were going about spreading the gospel only to profit themselves. And in the present day, we have seen the same. There seem to be no shortage of people who are ready to try and gain their own comfort, even as they preach against the evils of money and greed. But Malachi is not complaining about those preachers. Malachi is not complaining about money changers. God complains through Malachi about ordinary worshipers robbing God. Now, how does that happen? Now, in Malachi's day, it was quite simple. They lived in what you might call a feudal system. A feudal system is where there is a lord who owns the land and allows people to work the land in exchange for some of the produce of the land. Now, in feudal systems, in human feudal systems, we've seen many people, many lords that exploit it, whether it was the seigneurial system of old Quebec or the feudal system of medieval Britain. There were those lords who would exploit their people, taking everything they could possibly grab from them and leaving them impoverished and constantly in need. Now, in Israel, there was a feudal system, but the Lord of the land was the Lord Almighty. The one who owned the land was God, and he distributed it among the people of Israel and gave it to them as an everlasting gift. Now, If you compare it to a feudal system, God was an extraordinarily generous Lord. He not only gave them the land, but also the sun and the rain that was required to produce crops. He was the God who watched over them and defended them from their enemies. And, unlike other feudal lords, he only required 10%. Can you imagine? In the days that Israel was established under Moses and Joshua, the law was given, and for generations there were no kings extracting their taxes. There was only the tithe, 10%, which was used not only to support the priestly work of the Levites, who themselves had no land of their own, but it also met the needs of widows and orphans, those who were widowed and had no children to care for them in their old age, and those orphans who had no parents to provide for them. That 10% did a lot of work, didn't it? But even though they had it so good, they were holding back their tithe, and God said they were robbing him. Now, they were happy to receive from God and ready to complain if God didn't come through on his part, but they weren't ready to accept God's requirements. They were happy to go to the temple to receive forgiveness, but they were unwilling to obey God or even turn from their sins. Self-centered, as selfish as any pagan, they complained that doing good had no profit, that since the evil prospered, there was no point in obeying God. These are the words of people looking for an excuse to do wrong. And yet, to those who still feared God, God replies to that accusation from the faithless people. He says a day will come when he will again show what the distinction is between the righteous and the wicked. He promises a day when the righteous will receive what is coming to them and the wicked will receive their due. Let's pause here for a moment and listen to a song that really exhibits the attitude that we want to have. Because there is in each of us a tendency to love God only when things are going well. How much we long to be like Job, whose attitude is reflected in this beautiful song of praise. Let's listen to Tree 63 singing, "Blessed Be Your Name."
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on a road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. My heart will
say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, Jesus, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name.
Now, what is a den of thieves? Jesus said to the money changers and to all who were gathered, "My house was to be a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." What is that den of thieves? Now, we could call a corrupt marketplace a den of thieves, because a den of thieves is a gathering place for thieves and criminals. A den of thieves is where they all group together, and sometimes, even when they're not in their den, the setting that they gather in becomes so corrupt that we could call it a den of thieves. So a place where deceit and crime takes place could be called a den of thieves. But think about it. Most of the time, a den of thieves is not where thieves do their crimes, but where they go to take shelter from their crimes, to hide from punishment. A den of thieves is their place of security, a place where they relax, knowing that the police are never going to get them there. It's a place where they enjoy their ill-gotten security. When Jesus clears the temple, it's easiest to point the finger at the money changers. But is it possible that the thieves in this den are more than just the buyers and the sellers? When Malachi points to the ordinary worshippers as robbing God, he's pointing a finger at cheap grace. Cheap grace is when we run to the temple for refuge, but we only hide our sins instead of turning from them. In Malachi's day, the people weren't even willing to talk about obeying God. They were fed up because they said they were doing so well and yet the wicked prospered. They were doing so good and yet the wicked were doing better. But Malachi points out that they were already missing the obedience to God that was required of them. But they still came to the temple, still came and made their sacrifices, going home feeling that they were forgiven, and they were a little bit surprised to find that God wasn't happy with this arrangement. And yet, was it unique in Malachi's day that people would come to the temple to make a sacrifice for sin, with no intention of ceasing from sin? No, unfortunately not. No, we are robbers in God's temple when we come to confess, but we don't come to repent. When there's confession without repentance, that's cheap grace. And really, cheap grace is no grace at all. Do you think that we have to stop sinning because that's the punishment that God wants to place on us? To cease from sin is the joy that God wants to give us. To confess and to say you're sorry, but not want to turn away from sin is to miss the whole point of God's deliverance. He wants you to live in His love. He wants you to live in His grace. He wants you to live in His goodness, not to continue going back to the mud and the dirt and the pain of a sinful life. So there are those who go to church and say they're sorry and don't mean it. But what about us? I'm sure you're not that kind of a person. I hope you're not that kind of a person. And I hope I'm not either. But even beyond that, what if we go to church, we listen to the message of God's word, and when we confess, we truly want to change. We want to live a better life. We want to be free from addiction. We want to be free from bad habits. We want to be free from hurtful ways. we want a better life. But what if we are doing all this only for our own benefit? What if we're kind of like people going to a fitness trainer? We learn to exercise and run only to make our own lives better. Is that really why God has called us? Didn't the scripture say that we are his handiwork created for good works? Didn't he set the model of his call when he called Abraham and he said, I will bless you, and you will become a blessing to all nations? If we are following God purely to make ourselves feel better, we're as selfish as we've ever been. We are robbing God. Tell me, in the parable of the servants, remember when Jesus talked about three servants who were given a trust by their master? And the master gave to one of them 10 talents of gold, and the other 5 talents, and to the other one 1 talent of gold. Did he give them those talents of gold so he could use them for their own treasure store? So they could use them for their own pleasures? Did he give them these talents of gold just as some kind of bonus? No, instead he gave them these talents as an opportunity to invest in the master's work, to bring glory, and in the parable to bring riches, but in the metaphor to bring glory to the master. Are we using the gifts that God has given us to bless others, to glorify God, or are we using the blessings God has given us for our own comfort? Are there any tables that need to be turned over in the temple of your heart? In Malachi's day, it was about the tithe. It was about 10%. And in the New Testament, Jesus has a few things to say about the tithe. He says to some people who were tithing, to the Pharisees, they were tithing everything, even their herbs. And he said to them, you've tithed all that, but you've neglected mercy and sacrifice. It would be better for you to do the latter without neglecting the former. That is, the tithe isn't everything. And when Jesus speaks about discipleship, he speaks about everything we have to live on. That's why he praised the widow who gave just 2 little coppers. Because she gave everything she had to live on. That's what he called forth from the rich young ruler who was told to sell what he had and give it to the poor and then come and follow Jesus. And that's what the disciples knew Jesus expected of them when they said, we have left our homes and families and our careers for you. Suddenly, 10% sounds easy, doesn't it? Every coin, every talent, every moment, every breath, all for Jesus, I surrender. Wouldn't that be something? When we love God, we're ready to put everything at his disposal. I'm hopeful that each one of us is doing everything that we can to bless God, to contribute our strength to his service, to contribute our wealth to his mission and his ministry. I'm sure that it's not a question of 10% for the committed Christian. It's a question of how much can I give? How much more can I give to God? If we rest, and we should rest because God commands it, don't we rest so that we might be ready for service when God calls us? And when we eat, do we eat simply to satisfy ourselves, or do we eat to be strengthened for the work that he has given us to do? When Jesus said, my temple shall be a house of prayer for all the nations, I wonder if he was thinking about what his apostle Paul would later write in scriptures when he said, don't you know that you are the temple of God? Are you a house dedicated to glorifying God in all the earth? Are you a temple that is a house of prayer for all nations? Are you using the blessings God has given you to bless the whole earth? You know, I think you and I are done with robbing God. Shall we be done with self-serving religion and turn away from a self-serving faith? Shouldn't we let Jesus cleanse the temple of our hearts and make us a house of prayer for all nations and make us a blessing to all on his earth? Would you pray with me? Loving God, do this work in us. Overturn the tables of our own hearts and set yourself enthroned in the temple there for the glory of God our Father, our Savior. Amen. Listeners, thank you so much for your prayer and financial support. You can find us on the web and get information about how to support us both with prayer and financially. Visit our website and you'll also find several of our programs available on podcasts. Please join with a group of other Christians and worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now, would you listen with me to Cold Men at Murray's singing This Song Is For You.
Wanna forget this world I'm living in. Wanna stand facing the sun at the pier's end. Only the sky, the sea and I stand between me and you. Yeah. Wanna forget all this trouble I'm in. Wanna forget my failings, my fantasies, my sin. Wanna forget everything, and all I have to do, the song is for you. And it doesn't matter what anyone thinks. If you sing off tune or if I'll play off beat. If you're bored or if I stop, this song is for you. Sweet to your ears. Hope I can sing with you tonight, and I can be enveloped by your love. Songs for you. Open up my heart. Break through my.
News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.